Good morning to each of you. Greet you in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Matt, for your devotional. It does us well to remember who is the giver of all good things and to acknowledge that they are given to us from God and to remember Him and praise Him for them. I'd like to do something a little different this morning to start the message. I'm going to mention some names from the Bible, and I would like to hear from you all. I would like to hear the first thing that comes to your mind describing the person's character, or maybe what first comes to your mind when you think of this person. So there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just looking for some of the first thoughts that come to your mind. So the first name I'm going to mention is Abraham. Don't be shy. Faithful. Okay. Any others for Abraham? Well, I'll move on. Lot. What comes to your mind when you think of Lot?
The decision he made with the land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Somewhat of a selfish decision. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Saul, King Saul. Good things or bad things come to your mind? Maybe some of both.
Pride.
Thank you. David. King David.
Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Any others along the lines of David? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ruth. Loyal. Mm-hmm. Jezebel. What comes to your mind when you think of Jezebel?
Evil.
Thank you. Judas. Talking about Jesus' disciple.
Traitor.
Traitor. Yes. Timothy. Comes to your mind when you think of young Timothy?
Disciple of Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll stop there. We could go on with more. The reason I asked you that is the person's name is often remembered by their character, their reputation that they've had. And I purposely had some in there that were likely going to be remembered by good things, and then also some probably because of the evil things like Jezebel. And some of the things that you mentioned were very things that I had written down. Actually, most of them were things that I had written down about those people as well. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold." And the title of the message this morning is Choosing Your Name. When you think about that, you might think, well, you didn't really get to choose your name. You know, your parents gave you your name, right? But there is a part of it that we choose as well, and that's more to do with our reputation or our character. And one day, our name is going to be remembered by those that we interacted with or loved ones by, or it's also going to be remembered by our reputation or our character. So in a sense, we are choosing our name. And that's what I want to think about this morning for the message and dwell on. Choosing your name. Growing up, I thought of two neighbors that we had where I grew up. There was a man that lived down the road from us that almost every day at a certain time of the morning, I would see this neighbor man drive past her house. And I remember, the farm that I grew up on, I remember talking to my dad about this neighbor man. He was an elderly man. And my dad told me how, unfortunately, that man is drinking his life away. And he would often drive by the farm on his way to the local tavern. And if you drive by that tavern, his truck would often be parked there. And unfortunately, he, as far as I know, died as a drunkard. And even though he did not pursue, or he did not have much wealth to his name, that is the what I remember of that man. Another neighbor man was an Amish neighbor that we had, and he was one of those men that always just was a friendly man. He was an enjoyable man to talk to, and he's now gone as well. He died about maybe 2 years ago or so. But when I think of that man, Jake, I think of good things, and I just the times that I've had interacting with him were enjoyable memories. And just comparing those two neighbors that we had growing up and what I remember of them. So choosing your name, it is important that we leave a good reputation, that we have a good name. And you know, since my last name is Good, I already have that going for me, right? A lot of people like to tease me about that. I'm sure Matt gets similar comments about our last name being Good. Unfortunately, I don't always live up to my last name. I try to, but I fail at times. I also have memories of, this goes back, I was not aware of how long it was until I looked or researched this, but in 2006, there was a man that won the bike race, the Tour de France. He was an accomplished biker, and he practiced for this race. He was a very good biker, and he won the race. Unfortunately, after testing, he was found guilty of having illegal drugs in his system, which aided him in winning the race. Well, instead of that man having being known for winning that race, when people hear his name, he's often remembered as the one who used illegal drugs to win the race, and his name is tarnished. It has a bad reputation because of what he did. And unfortunately, in the world that we live, there's many people that pursue fame or riches at the expense of a bad reputation. Some people in business don't care about how they treat others as long as they get the good end of the deal in business, as they get the money in their account. That's all they care about, unfortunately, for some people. And for us, as God's children, it is very important that we are concerned about our reputation. We should be concerned about our character. And the question I have is, why is it so important to have a good reputation? Well, one of the reasons is we are made in God's image. And Genesis 1:26 says, God said, let us make man in our image. And as Christians, we are representing Jesus Christ. We are to reflect Jesus in our everyday life. We are to reflect Jesus in our business dealings. We are called to be separate from the world. We are called to be salt and light to the world. And if we are leaving a bad reputation, we are not accurately representing Jesus to the world. So I want us to consider the name we are choosing because we are called to reflect our Heavenly Father. So choosing a good name does not only benefit us, but it brings glory to God as we reflect Him. So how can we choose a good name? You can turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I would like to read this chapter. And in this chapter, Paul is instructing young Timothy in how to live and how to be a good example to those around him. And I'd like to look at some of these things, particularly in verse 12, and things that we should seek after in order to leave a, or to choose to have a good name or to leave a good reputation. Now, when I say about having a good name or a good reputation, I might use those words interchangeably. But if I'm talking about choosing a good name, I'm talking about more of a reputation than I am about your actual name that you were given. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll start reading at verse 1 and read through the end of the chapter. Maybe for those of you who are able, you can stand to as we read these verses. First Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in a hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Now notice verse 12 in leaving an example or being an example. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, or another word could be conduct, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thou profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You may be seated. So Paul, in this chapter, talked about bodily exercise and how it profits little. He doesn't say it doesn't profit at all. Sometimes it's good to exercise. But there's better things that we are to be pursuing than just bodily exercise. Thinking about choosing a good name, so there's many people that choose wealth or fame over their reputation or over having a good name. There's also people that choose bodily exercise more than having a good name or a good reputation. And again, bodily exercise in itself is not wrong and it is valuable. There's some good in it, but there's some people that are more driven to be in the best physical shape or to do extreme lifting, whatever it may be, more than they care about their name or their reputation. And I'd like to look at verse 12, where Paul is telling Timothy to be an example of believers in six ways. And in those six ways, I want to spend a little time looking at those six things. The first one is in word, or in our speech. The second one in conversation or conduct, and then love, spirit, faith, and purity. I also want to note that it is possible to try to have a good name without really acknowledging that we need help, that it takes Christ within us. There's a lot of people that seek or try to be a good person by just living a good moral life. And while they can be respectable people, they can do a lot of good things, it takes Christ with them to really attain these six things. When we acknowledge that we need help and we confess our sin and turn to Christ and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, and His Spirit inside of us is what can give us the power to live out these six things as Paul is instructing Timothy to put on and to be an example in. So the first one, in word, God cares very much about our speech. He cares about how we interact with others. And the Bible talks a lot about our words and our tongue and how we use it. If we're going to be a person that chooses to have a good name, we need to be honest in our speech. Matthew 5:37 says, "Let your yes be yes and your no, no." And I know I've shared this some before, but a phrase that I hear quite often from a lot of people in having conversations with people is, just this week, I was in a conversation with someone where this phrase came up very often, and I thought about it quite a bit. This person kept saying, "Well, I'll be honest with you, this is what I would do," or this is what works best. And he used that phrase repeatedly. When someone continues to do that, it does sometimes make me think, well, they're saying, "I'll be honest with you," so if they wouldn't be saying that, would they be lying to me? And sometimes it's just a phrase that we use without thinking, and sometimes I catch myself saying it. Actually, this morning I was leaving a message with someone else, and I caught myself saying, "Honestly," I'm like, "What?" So I'm not exempt from it myself, but simply letting our yes be yes and your no, no, and being a man and woman of integrity in our speech. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that speak truth when it's convenient to speak the truth, and they'll speak lies when it's more convenient to speak lies or when it makes a better story. Just the other week, there was a man that brought a deer to me to get a shoulder mount, and he wanted the deer scored to know, you know, what his antlers scored, and I measured it for him. I later text him the score. Sometime later, on a Facebook page, a deer hunting Facebook page, he posted pictures of his buck, and he was asking people to guess the score of the deer. And I found it interesting because I already knew the score of the deer because I scored it and sent him the score. And a lot of people were guessing the score, and a lot of people were shooting a little higher than what the score that I came up with. But I was like, well, it'll be interesting when he does, you know, say the score. I looked later. I went back to see if he eventually shared the score, and he did. And when I seen it, I started scratching my head. I'm like, what? He was, like, above what I scored it. I'm like, did I message him the wrong score? So I went back and looked at the text, and no, it was off on the score. I'm like, I was frustrated. I'm like, why would you even do that? Like, I mean, yeah, sure, it makes for a better story saying it scored this much, but there again, it made for a better story, and made the buck seem bigger than what it was, and just sad, but that's a lot of how the world operates, and speaking truth when it's convenient, or, you know, when you can get away with a little lie, you know, it's okay by a lot of people's standards. But God clearly tells us to let our yes be yes and our no, no, and to speak truth, to be a person of integrity. And unfortunately, when people lie like that in the little things, it's very hard to trust them to speak truth in the bigger things. When an employer is looking for an employee, they're looking for someone that they can trust, someone that is honest. And when someone is known or has a reputation of lying, it's extremely hard to have trust in that person. We are to be people of honesty, to have integrity in our speech. So that's one way. If we want to have a good name for ourselves, we must be men and women and boys and girls that speak truth. And this starts at a very young age. Unfortunately for that man who lied about the score for his deer, it may have been a case where, as a little boy, he was speaking lies and never changed. I don't know. But sometimes when we speak one lie, it's much easier to speak the second lie. And after we lie a few times, we keep lying to cover up our lies, and we get caught in a trap or a cycle of lying. The second one, in conversation or conduct, or another word could be in here for behavior. The way we conduct ourselves sends a message to others, whether it's in a positive way or a negative way. I heard a story of a 16-year-old boy. This goes back, I think it was in the 1970s, in South Carolina. This was a black family, and, you know, back in the 1970s, some of the black people, unfortunately, were not as trusted as the white people. And there was a 16-year-old boy that his father was sending him to town to buy some fence supplies. And his father told him that he was going to have to ask the cashier at the register to credit the purchase because they didn't have the money to pay for it at the time. And the 16-year-old boy was excited about being able to drive to the store and buy these supplies, but he did not like the idea that, you know, he had to ask for credit. And he went to the store and he purchased the supplies and told the cashier that he's going to have to credit the supplies. And fortunately for the young boy, the cashier knew the boy's father, and he said, "Yes, I can do that. Your father is a good man, and he's true to his word." And just, I share that story because of that man's, or that boy's father, his behavior, his conduct, his having a good reputation, he was able to credit that purchase. And it holds the same way for us as well. Our reputation, or the way we conduct ourselves, speaks, and whether positive or negatively, does our conduct portray that we are someone that can be trusted? And then the third one in here is Paul tells Timothy in charity or in love. And this word charity is agape. This is a supernatural love, a love that is able to even be extended to our enemies. We are to be filled with love if we want to have a good name. We need to be known as someone who is loving, can love others. John 13:35 says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If we can't love others, we are not loving as God wants us to love. We are not filled with that agape, supernatural love. The world should be able to see something different in us by the way we love each other. And our name, choosing a good name, can be both individually and also as a church body, as a corporate body as well. Unfortunately, there's some church bodies that, or some congregations that we might know of, that seem like they're always in conflict within and fighting within, but we should rather have love for one another. And that love speaks. And most of us are probably familiar with the school shooting at Nickel Mines many years ago, and how the Amish community spoke out or responded with love and forgiveness to the shooter's family, and that message went throughout the world. And that should be the message that each one of us as Christians sends out as well, that we are someone who can love and shows love even to the unlovely, even in times where it's not easy to respond with love. And then the fourth one, in spirit, and I don't have much to say about this one, but in the manner, it could mean in the manner and disposition in which we do all things, to have a good spirit about us. In spirit, in zeal, and warmth of spirit, truly inflamed with the love of Christ and for His glory. We should have a likable spirit about us. Someone who has a good name, has a reputable character, will likely have, just known for having a likable, pleasant spirit about them, a spirit of warmth. They should see that something supernatural is guiding our life, and that supernatural guidance is the Holy Spirit within us. And then fifthly, faith. Paul talked about the faith in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul was talking about the faith that was passed down, you know, from Timothy's grandmother to his mother and then to Timothy. And if we are going to have a good character, we should have a character that is, our faith is rooted in God's word. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast a confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And then sixthly, purity. I'm going through these rather quickly, but we are to be pure in both body and mind. Our bodies are the temple of God, and we are to conduct ourselves in a pure way. This applies to both public and private. Private, when no one else can see what is going on, it is not so much that we are choosing to have a good name just to have a good name, but again, recognizing that our life is representing our Heavenly Father. So we should care about the image that we are leaving to those around us. We should care about the image that we're sending to the world. We should care about our image in the ways that we do business with others. This applies to all areas of life. And it does not stop when we are alone as well. You know, God sees us wherever we are. And when we have our phones and when it's looking at things on our phone, it's when it's things on the screen, are we conducting our life in a way that is pure? Are we conducting ourselves in a way that's bringing honor and glory to God? So, those six things in our words, in our conduct, in love, spirit, faith, and in purity. Those are all things that we should pursue to have part of our lives and to behave ourselves, to conduct ourselves in a way that brings honor and glory to the image that we are bearing. And I recognize that myself and each one of us sometimes mars God's image. Sometimes we fail. But the good news is that it is possible for even someone with a bad reputation to change and to finish their life with a good reputation. And you might all know someone that did not start very well, that maybe had a bad name, made a bad name for themselves, but by the grace of God, God getting hold of their lives, their life was changed, and they finished well. They finished with a good reputation. Now, a good name, or having a good name, doesn't change just like that. So when a sinner repents, God gives them a new heart. So they're made clean within. They are made new just like that. But to leave a good reputation takes some time, or to build a good reputation takes some time. Trust has to be built. And I thought of Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus was known as someone who was... Actually, I'll look to one of the children here. What was Zacchaeus? What was his occupation before he met Jesus? Can anyone tell me? Tax collector. And what was he known for as a tax collector before he met Jesus? Cheater. Yes. He would take more taxes than what people owed him. And he would use that money for himself. Well, he met Jesus, his life was changed, and he said he's going to pay back how much to the ones that he took from too much? How much was he? Sorry. I thought I heard someone say it. How much was he going to repay? Four times as much. Yes. He was sorry for what he had done, and I believe at the end of Zacchaeus' life, he had a good reputation rather than a bad reputation. And that can be true for us as well. There were times in my youth where I did some things that I'm very ashamed of to this day. And in my youth, I made a bad reputation of my name sometimes. And I'm ashamed of that. But by the grace of God, I hope at the end of my life, I'm remembered for not what happened in the youth, but how I lived my life after I met Jesus. And that is possible for each one of us as well. It is possible for us to not to be remembered by a bad reputation when we repent, we change our ways, and we live for Jesus Christ and make a good name for ourselves to be remembered by that rather than before we met Christ. Another thing I'd like to look at quickly, I was thinking about the Sunday school lessons that we just finished. We're in a new quarter, or starting a new quarter today. But I had to think about David and Saul. Both those men were used of God. They were both king of the Israelites. They both had strengths and they both had weaknesses. David is known for, when we mentioned David's name, I believe it was Dawson that mentioned a man after God's own heart. And that's what we remember David largely for the good that he did, for pursuing God. But we also know that he committed some great sins. He committed sin with adultery with Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's husband murdered. He disobeyed God in taking a census and counting the people. So he had some sin, but he is also known for his confession. We know that David confessed his sin. He was sorry for what he had done. And largely, David is remembered as a godly man, a man pursuing God's own heart. Saul, on the other hand, he had some strengths. He was a good-looking king. He was tall, he was handsome, and a strong man. But his life went downward as he got older in just the ways he handled himself. He became very jealous of David and over David's accomplishments. He tried to kill David. He specifically obeyed God several times. And he would blame others rather than acknowledging his sin. He did that sometimes as well. And Saul's ending, I believe, could have been much different had he been willing to confess and repent. And he could have ended with a good reputation, but instead he ended up taking his own life and is remembered largely by being a jealous man, being prideful, and relying mainly on his own strength. And I trust that each one of us would rather leave a legacy like David, being remembered, having a good reputation, having a good name, rather than like King Saul. When David was confronted with his sin, Psalm 51 says, this is some of David's prayer, I won't read the entire psalm, but it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And the good news is, just as God gave or removed the sin from David, he was pardoned from it, even though it didn't remove all his consequences, David could be washed, his heart could be made new. It is possible for each one of us as well to experience God's mercy. The good news is that if we are known as someone if we are someone with a bad reputation, that can change by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, and we can start new and be given a new heart. I believe each one of us, if I ask you if you want to be remembered as having a good reputation, we'd all say, yes, we want that. The hard part about it is each day of our life really plays into that. And I was thinking about that as I was studying. And for those of you who are young, even no matter how old you are, boys and girls, if you want to be known if you want to have a good name to yourself, if you want others to think highly of you, each day matters how you live your life. And it matters if you're going to be someone who is speaking lies, people are going to remember that, and they're going to have a very hard time trusting you. So it starts with doing right each day, even in the little things, the little decisions. It takes being honest. If you want to have a good name to yourself, you need to be someone who is trustworthy, someone that people can trust in. And it takes doing the right thing, living in purity. So I want you to remember some of those things. To be honest, honest in all things, to be trustworthy, and to be pure, doing what is right. And it matters how we finish. There are some people who lived godly lives majority of their life on this earth, but in the end, they fell away. And what a sad ending it is to remember someone like that, where they lived a good life, and yet in the end, they gave it up and were not faithful. And there's some people that lived what appeared to be a good life while they were living on this earth, and then after they died, there's some horrible stories that come out about them that we become aware that they were living a double life, and their reputation is tarnished. We thought highly of these people, and yet later found out they were living a double life, and their reputation is gone, or their good reputation is gone. So it does matter how we finish. We all want to finish well, and it takes being faithful each day in the small things, being honest, being trustworthy. And again, I'm sure each one of us desire that, but it's not always easy to do what's right. Sometimes in business, it's going to be maybe taking a loss because we said we would do something, you know, at say this is going to cost $50, and it turned out it cost us $75 to just buy the product. Are we going to hold true to our word? Or are we going to say, well, just charge them extra and not be faithful to what we said and hold true to our word? Sometimes it might mean that we don't always get the financial gain that we could have, but our name is more, leaving a good name or a good reputation is more important than always getting the same or the most that we can, whatever service that we are doing. So, in conclusion, what name are you choosing for yourself? Again, I realize we can't choose the physical name that we were given, but we can choose, or we are choosing, our reputation. What will we be remembered for? And that verse in Proverbs again says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, it's not wrong to have money. And I would like to say, I believe it's not wrong to have a lot of money. But how are we getting the money that we have? Are we doing it with a good reputation? Are we doing it fairly? It is better to have a good name than to have much wealth and to be leaving a bad reputation around us. Last week, Zach preached a message on balance, and it was a good message. And it's hard to always have balance in life. So it takes money to go throughout life. We need to work, we need to provide, and yet it is very important that we are leaving a good reputation, a good name, because we are representing our Heavenly Father. So again, I want us, each one of us, to consider the name that we are leaving, or the name that we're choosing, because we are reflecting our Heavenly Father. And may our lives point others to Jesus Christ. May they see Jesus through us, whatever business we might be doing or whatever we are doing. Are we leaving a good reputation for others or a good example for others to follow? So may you be challenged with that as I was studying this. May we choose to have a good name. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I just ask that you would help each one of us to choose a good name, to leave a good reputation. And thank you for the examples in Scripture of the many men and women and how they lived their lives and the reputation that they left, some good, some not so good. But may we choose to follow those that left a good reputation and those that were honest in all that they did. I pray that we would seek to follow those. I pray that we would be quick to confess when we do fail and quick to make things right. And I pray that as we live our lives, that others, as they observe our life, that they would see you through us in the way that we live and the things that we do. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.